So when you do the breath work, it's like you're turning off the computer. And then when you turn the computer back on, you can open whatever windows. And since you had that little break, you're like, oh, I probably really only need to do this one thing or two. So you open two windows. That's it. That's what breath work does. So it turns off all the noise, right? And then you could say, okay, I really need to get this done. Or I need to get some food. Or I need to get some water. Or I have to do the next thing that is actually really important to me. And that's how business works. That's how life works. That's how relationships work. That's how everything actually works. And that's the 20%.
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within, with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my guest today, chiming in from Los Angeles, Monica Garcia Dougal. And I'm excited to bring her on. She's got great stories. She's full of energy. She's got tons of experience. She's a 30-year Wall Street veteran and financial expert. She's a best-selling author of The Power of Breath. She's a TEDx speaker, which is super cool. Breathwork makes you wealthy. She's a CEO, businesswoman, wife. She recently renewed her 20-year vows, which is so cool. She's a mom of two, and I just enjoyed talking to her. And Monica, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. And I'm excited about our topic because I love this topic. So we're going to be talking today about how to have business breakthroughs that are not about grinding harder, but learning to slow down and assess what 20% to focus on. And we're going to see where the conversation takes us, but I'm so curious to talk to you about this. So you know where I'd like to start, Monica? We talked a while ago, and I thought what you said, something that was really cool, and this might be a great way to start this conversation because it'll share a little bit of your childhood. But you said that when you grew up, you believed you belonged at the table, which has shaped a lot of your success. I haven't heard somebody say that before. And I think that mindset that I belong is so powerful. How did you even come to adopt that belief?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think my mom was an entrepreneur and all her friends were entrepreneurs. And she just taught me so much when I was a kid. Crazy stuff like customer service and marketing, and they're always talking about businesses and stuff. So I don't know, it gives you a lot of confidence to look at the world as businesses and opportunities. And so when you look at the world that way, like just not through a scarcity mindset, but through an abundant mindset, I think it just really allows you to be open and curious and adventurous to some degree. And so even adventurous in terms of your thoughts and ideas, which I think it's almost like it'd be amazing if everybody could be curious, if everybody could have that type of like maybe mindset when we were kids that we were curious. I think Jeff Bezos, somebody said to stay curious, like that's how you're successful, right? And I think that's one of the things that we lose as adults is as we go through childhood to adulthood, these are the rules, those are the regulations, stay within the lines, right? Just all of this stuff. And we're just trying to figure it out. We want to do what we're supposed to. But unfortunately, some of that stuff, it stifles us and it hinders us from growing and from learning. Because then at some point, I don't know, have you ever heard of Carol Dweck? She's from Stanford. Yeah. So it's like a growth mindset. Unfortunately, sometimes we're taught a fixed mindset. And he can't do much with the fixed mindset because it's a fixed mindset. You think, oh, I already got it. Like, I know everything. Or I can't ever be a beginner at stuff because I'm an adult. Or how would that look? Or just all of these things that we put on ourselves. It's funny because that one person that I was talking to you about before, one of your past hosts, this decluttering. Seriously, people, declutter. There's so much stuff that you don't even know you're carrying around. Like you have no idea these blind spots or somebody else's thought that you've never even sat down and said, hey, is this mine or does this belong to somebody else? We don't even have the time or the space to like really reflect and really figure out who are we? What do we want? And I know some of your other hosts about alignment, you know, That right there, that's the key, is figure out what you want, what you align with, and do that, because that's where other people are going to like just applaud you, and they're just going to love you because you're going to be in your zone of genius. And that's how you should show up. That's where you should show up.
Yeah, no, I love it. And obviously you have a growth mindset with everything you just shared. And I'm sure that's come through experience and years of experience and trials and tribulations. And it sounds like you had an amazing mom who, in the very beginning, supported you with adopting that growth mindset, which is really awesome. I'm curious, as you talk about do what you love and be in alignment, how did you end up going from Wall Street and getting into Wall Street in the first place? And then from there, becoming a breathwork expert, because that's not a typical combination. So when did you realize that starting
to that
down?
Yeah, this is a great, this is perfect. This is beautiful segue. So actually, I was at UC Berkeley. Okay. So that was a completely competitive school. And it's all the kids there. They're the best of the best, right? And Berkeley's the type of school that doesn't let you in unless you've had to deal with some hardship. So people, their kids have straight A's or the valedictorian. They have all these amazing things going on. And then they get rejected at Berkeley and they're like, what the hell? Why is my kid rejected? This is insanity, right? And other kids that also have good grades, but, you know, something, the idea behind Berkeley is if you're going to make it, you're going to finish the program, we're going to let you in. But if you haven't shown that you're going to stick to it and finish it, not going to get in. And it made sense because I literally started getting migraine headaches because it was so competitive.
Yeah.
And that's how I learned breath work. But it was crazy because it was like, I got to finish this. Like, I can't be like, oh, too hard. I'm out. That wasn't an option. It was like, burn the boats, right? Like, mine were like, so that's the students that they learn, that they allow in there is the ones that are going to burn the boats, right? You got to finish this. You're going to have some heavy duty stuff that comes along. So for me, it was the migraines. And then I went to the doctor, got medicine, got more medicine because that medicine didn't work. Talked to another student that was there and she said, oh yeah, I could be out for a whole week with migraines. I'm like, I'm out. And so I went to a meditational class and I learned breath work. And it was like the first time that I could really like relax. And it was insane. It was like, I breathe? This is such a thing as breath? And I think most people really walk around. And I'll tell you what, even having all of that experience, it's still boring. It's still a pain in the neck to do it. But the power of it, the power of breath, the power of just slowing down, stopping, and just almost decluttering. I have an example in my book. I say, we get so busy. It's like having our computer open. We have 40 tabs open, right? What happens after you have 40 tabs? Everything starts slowing down. Things aren't opening. So for me, it's turn everything off. Turn off all the tabs, close the computer. So that's like breath work, right? You're turning everything off. You're like all of those thoughts that are racing in your mind. You got to get this done, got to get done. All of this stuff. So when you do the breath work, it's like you're turning off the computer. And then when you turn the computer back on, you can open whatever windows. And since you had that little break, you're like, oh, I probably really only need to do this one thing or two. So you open two windows. That's it. That's what breath work does. So it turns off all the noise, right? And then you could say, okay, I really need to get this done. Or I need to get some food. Or I need to get some water. Or I have to do the next thing that is actually really important to me. Mm. And that's how business works. That's how life works. That's how relationships work. That's how everything actually works. And that's the 20%, right? That's where what is really important, right? These 40 tabs that you have open, really? You can't even work. You can't even think straight. Like, how are you going to have 40 tabs open? Like, even the computer's telling you, like, too much. Too much information. So if you close everything, then you could focus on your 20%. And guess what? You get that done right away. You move on to the next thing.
I love that analogy. I love that analogy allows it to make sense. And I say to people, like, slow down to speed up. Slow
down. Exactly. That's right. That's one of the most powerful things out there. That's right. The reality, yes.
And let's talk about this for a sec. So you say slow down, right? Close all the all the tabs on your computer.
Yeah, just turn the computer off. Reboot. Yeah. Turn it off.
Yeah.
Reboot. Take a little break.
So how do we know? Because this is the thing, especially in hustle culture. And I think you and I, we talked previously, like I just came off of hustle, hustle, do more. And our message today is really to slow down. And when you focus on the 20%, you're going to be able to accelerate your results actually even better. And so can you chat about that? What is the benefit of narrowing our focus to that 20% just in a way where we can then grow? Because I think it's changing our perspective. Instead of doing everything, like narrow it down to that 20%, and you're going to get to where you want to go further, faster.
Yeah. And I think part of it is like fear and distraction. Like, I really think that's some of the underlyings of that is right. You're going to have the downtime. And when you have the downtime, like maybe what are you avoiding? Why are you staying so distracted? And so I think these are the real culprits, right? I don't think that it's really the hustle. It's more that you're trying to run away from stuff, right? And so we do that, this in anything that we do, that it's overabundance, overconsumption of anything, whether it's a hustle or whether it's whatever it is that you're distracting yourself with. So I think that the space in between then could be scary for people. And it could be hard. But the reality, though, is if you face that and you actually go into that and be honest and be serious and have these conversations, it doesn't mean that you have to change everything like right away. But what do I really want? So it's almost like you're being friendly or kind to yourself, right? Because like just throwing more in there to do more, that's not kind or friendly. Like, seriously. Like, and sometimes it may not even be that you want to do this. This is the way I was raised. This is what we were supposed to do, right? And so it always comes back to that self-reflection. It always comes back to that conversation that you want to have with yourself. And so a nice walk or breathing, just really stop. And people are like, seriously, like that's terrifying. It is terrifying to people. So I know even with one of the other guests, and I do this too. I use coaches. Like, they help you. They help you pause because it's, I don't know how to do that. That's insane. If I stop, the whole world's going to swallow me. Everything's going to be done. And you almost need somebody to hold your hand and say, hey, guess what? Yeah, you're right. That's the feelings. That's what it feels like. But the reality is that's not real. And so as you work towards that, as you start slowing down and you start learning like, yeah, I can have a life without all the distractions and without all that, because pretty much life will do that to you. Life will eventually get you to a place where it's like, what does anything matter, right? Whether you get like maybe a disease or an accident or just something like just and that just like grabs you by the face. It's like, hey, pay attention. But I don't think you have to do that. I think working with coaches can help you avoid a lot of that stuff. And I don't think you really have to be in the hustle culture. I'm not saying don't work hard, don't go out, but just be thoughtful, right? Be thoughtful and be intentional. If you could be thoughtful and you could be intentional, have at it, right? Because at least you have that clarity. And when you have that clarity, you're going to hit your mark much better than if it's just chaos. And you really like, oh, I think something will eventually hit. You're eventually just going to get overly tired or something's going to happen, right? Like something's going to happen. But I think that, yeah, so that's where like the 20% comes in. And most successful people are working that way. So if you want to be successful, do what most successful people do. I don't mess around. I don't like, oh, I'm going to go create something brand new because I'm going to be so different. You know what? Even if we have 20 people that are doing the exact same thing, guess what? They're going to do it a little different because they're all different. And so all of this, like comparing our insights to other people's outsides and all of this other stuff, it's just noise. It's just distraction.
Yeah. So true. Yeah, I love everything you just shared. So because I'm relating it, obviously, this is the point of a podcast. What you listen, and I'm doing it live right now, but I'm relating it to my journey as you're speaking. Because yeah. I was hustle, hustle, and I slowed down. I left my previous business, and the first time ever I was faced with myself, and because I wasn't so busy, and I realized how anxious I was. I realized how out of alignment I was. I just realized so much about myself. And I actually hired a coach to teach me how to be still and calm. And it sounds hilarious, but I didn't know how. I didn't know how to.
No, nobody does. I think most people, because it's almost like you're a little kid, right? And you're happy-go-lucky, you're doing what you want. And then people are like, no, you're supposed to do this. And then other people are saying this. Even in my book, I have this runner that was an amazing runner. And then her friend starts saying, oh, yeah, I got to start watching this or that or whatever about their food intake. And this kid didn't have any problems. She was eating well. She was a runner. And then she's, oh, my God, I probably have to worry about mine. And it caused her so many issues. Like 5 or 6 years later, she figured it all out and said, shit, I should have never listened to that. But that's reality. That's the noise outside, right? Yeah. And so we pick it up somewhere. We're like, I guess I should be doing that too. Well, guess what? If you have a quiet conversation with yourself and you could say, you know what? I'm not going to compare my insides to other people's outsides. I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm going to screw up. I'm going to make lots of mistakes. But guess what? It is on my terms and it's what I need to do, right? And I'm gonna stand behind all of my mistakes. And I'm going to take ownership of everything, right? So if you can do that, you're in such a power state because nothing in the external world is going to affect you because you are living your life on your terms. And reality, at the end of the day, that's all you can do. So that's where we go into this external. And the worst part about all of that is you'll get to these points from the external world and then you're like, what's the point of that? Mm-hmm. Or what? Is this it? And it's so unfulfilling, right? It's like that Olympian that doesn't learn how to like just really enjoy the journey, right? Yeah. And they get the gold medal at the end and they're like, and this is it, right? Rather than, hey, guess what? You're doing this. Like every one of those workouts that you go to, every one of those, you're working with the best of the best, right? And if you're not grateful for that and you're not celebrating that and how powerful your body is and how amazing these experiences are, you're right. You're going to get to the end and it's going to be like, so what? What's the next? What is a word? Like a letdown that is.
Yeah. It's an empty.
In so many ways, because you're the best of the best. Can you imagine if that happens to Olympians? How about the rest of us? We got to learn how to celebrate. So you got to write that book. Learning how to celebrate on your journey now. Because I don't think a lot of people know how to do that, right? Because we are the hustle culture. We are the work culture. We're the assembly line, right? Obviously, we're moving away from that. But when you have that mindset, you don't know how to celebrate. You don't know how to just enjoy and say, hey, I got that done. And then also in the narrative of the media, you get a lot of like pushback. Oh my God, were you so happy about celebrating? Like stuff like that. And it's, oh my God, why aren't you so happy and celebrating? Let's change the narrative that way.
It's such a
powerful message. You're breathing.
Exactly.
You're breathing. You should freaking celebrate your breathing, right? Because one day you're not going to be breathing. But right now you are. So enjoy it.
And it's learning that too, right? It's learning how to celebrate when you're so like programmed to focus on the achievement, like you said, but then you end up there and you realize it's a bit empty if you haven't celebrated along the way. And I'm curious because you mentioned something about when you get like all of this, when you get still and then you learn about yourself. I'm curious for you, Monica, with your journey, what did you learn about yourself when you allowed yourself to slow down?
Wow. Yeah. I think a lot of the same things you did. And I think that's what people will have to deal with. They all have to deal with the reality. Like what's underneath all of that busyness? What's underneath all of that distraction? And I think, I really think that is more universal than what we think of, right? And so you really have to have these practices, right? And so that's where 20% of your work gives you all your money. 20% of your relationships give you all that fulfillment. 20% of your spirituality, right? 20% of your finances. All of this stuff, if you could just look at the 20%, Like, that's really you. That's your stuff. Everything else, 80% is just distraction. That's probably external. And you don't really need any of that stuff. Yeah, I had to deal with the, even, you know what? I'm so successful and I still want to be so successful even more. And I'm like, I'm alive. And I go back and forth. You're fine, right? And so you get all the external, what do you want more? Blah, 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 blah. And that, and at the end of the day, it's like, I forget who said this, but if you want it, that's because it's already yours, right? You only want stuff that you can actually have that is already yours. So at some point, just do whatever it is that makes you happy. And I think that's a struggle with people sometimes too, is other people will have a comment or this or that. And it's, this is the work that you're going to do. This is what you want to do. This is what lights you up and makes you happy. So why do you have to explain it to somebody else?
Yeah. I'm laughing because me and my girlfriends were talking about this the other day and we're calling it the F it era. We're like, we're just do what we want to do.
Yes. Yes.
Conversation, right? What makes us happy? Okay. So I love what you're sharing and I love your energy about this. And so how do we start to understand what the 20% is to focus on? Because there is so much.
Oh, I love that. That's a beautiful question. And I do have my book, My Power of Breath. So I'm going to just give you the high level of My Power of Breath. My book's main focus is to have unconditional self-love. Okay, like on top of anything else is unconditional self-love. So what you do is you support yourself and you never leave yourself. Once you're doing that, that 20%, it's just going to float to the top and it's going to be crystal clear. There's not going to be anything that there's not going to be any chaos. There's not going to be any opaqueness. There's not going to be any muddy waters. It's just going to be clear water, makes sense. I got this, right? So my book is always back to you. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Not your neighbor, not your the president, not your great grandmother, not your whoever. It doesn't matter. You go back to you. So it's almost like you're going back home because really at the end of the day, you have all the answers to anything that you ever have to do. If you could quiet down, if you could go meditate for 5 hours and just let everything go, if you can handle staying quiet for 5 hours, go for it. But seriously, right? That's why people go on these retreats. That's why they go, because they're like, I need a bigger answer. I need a higher answer. If you just start doing your breath work, you can start building those neurons and you can have access to all of those answers. Because we do have like our conscience, our subconscious, and all of these other things. And we do actually get more information than, and there's a lot of people that know how to tap into it. Like I said, most successful people, right? Like I say, like the Olympians, Navy SEALs, executives, anybody that's successful does breath work. They do meditation. Because guess what? That's your downtime. That's your time to say, what is this 20% that I'm supposed to be working on? That's how you get that. And that's clarity. Nobody messes. Nobody can touch that. Nobody can touch that. That is your stuff. That's sacred. And when you're operating in that, people see your power. They just like will like respect. Because guess what? They can also do that. They can, every single person can do this. So when they see you operating in that, they're like, hey, man, you do it. Right? Because I say I can do it. We all can do it. We all can be happy. We all can reach all of our dreams. This stuff isn't hard. It's just you need to have the courage to stop and say, what is it that I need? And then after you do that, then you keep doing that and you, what's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? And you just move forward to whatever it is that you want. And you're not indecision is one of the hardest things in this world. And when you're dealing with the external world and not with your internal world, you can go astray. You can do the hustle, do this, do that. But that's where it's not fulfilling. If you're listening to yourself and you're just going where you need to go, it's fulfilling. It's pretty cool.
I love it. And I love that you're like, in all honesty, it is simple, right? It's just whether or not we choose to do it. Whether we choose to do it or not and practice it. And I love that you share that, like, we have all our own answers. And I know that we're talking about the 20% and how to tap into it. When we also talked previously, just to shift a bit, but still stay in this topic, because what you shared was just so powerful. I know you said a big part of it too was financial literacy. So financial literacy, so, you know, slowing down, tapping into your 20%, what you just talked about, unconditional self-love, you get there through breath work and meditation to find your own answers. And also understanding financial literacy is a massive part of the 20%. Why do you feel that it's important to focus on that also?
Yeah, actually, and that's my movement that I'm doing is I do have the book in terms of coming home to yourself, right? This reunion with yourself and then just being very powerful in that. Now, the financial literacy, now that stuff, that topic, that's one of the most important topics for me. And the reason is because there's so much narrative and there's so much chaos and there's so much confusion around it and shame and greed and all this. I call it BS, total BS. And it's frustrating because it's like people need to pay for they have to go to the dentist or they have to go get their eyes checked or pay their rent or pay their mortgage. Yeah, just basic stuff. But you can't talk about money or it's shameful or you're greedy or it's like telling people like, don't take care of yourself. Like that for me is, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we have so many things, so many struggles, so many like hurdles that we have to go through to just have basic human needs that are met, right? And so what I like to do is I like to look at finances really neutral. Just yesterday, I would give you some eggs and you would give me some milk, right? That's how we transact it. Today, we have money, right? But it's the same thing, right? You go get your milk, you have money. You go get your eggs, right? You go pay your mortgage and you go do these things, right? And so for that to have some kind of cloud, or I was just talking to somebody, I was on another podcast and we're talking about this and I was saying something like, and then people that don't, there's an amazing influencer. She has a business. Her name's Cody Sanchez. And she said, people are not kind to the poor. Think about that. People are not kind to the poor, but you're not supposed to talk about money because that is, there's shame and there's, so it's like, you're in a horrible position one way or the, you know what I'm saying? So where do you get to human dignity? Where do you get to go look for what it is that you need to do? How do you do that?
Yeah, it's such an important topic. It's such an important topic. I feel especially because I deal with so many women entrepreneurs, and it's funny how you talked about money brings up so much shame and guilt, because even when I talk to them about their business and how much money they want to make or where they're at or what they're currently, it's almost like they don't want to speak about it. And I'm like, how are you supposed to create some abundance if you even fear saying you want to be successful? Yeah. And so we talk about this a lot. And so what do you feel is some real action that women or people in general can start to take in their finances? Like, how do we start to bust this up?
I think really just call the bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? So if I'm feeling like, oh, I can't talk, screw that. Who the hell is telling you that you can't do that? That person, you need to get rid of that person. Because that person is not caring about your health. That person is not caring about your safety. That person is not caring about your mental health. They're not, call it innocent, that they don't know any better, but whatever, they're causing damage. If they're telling you cannot take care of yourself, that's a problem. That's a really big problem.
Yeah.
And so I think for them to just look at it like, why would I even care about all of these false narratives that I'm carrying around? Right? And it doesn't matter if you're a female or a male, because the same kind of narrative, right, could be sold to anyone. You just got to get rid of it. You're like, almost like that's BS. That's not true. So anytime you get that thought, just say, I'm just blowing that out of the water because that's not going to be helpful. It's not true. Sorry. I don't have time for that. What do I need to do? Where do I want to go? How am I going to get there? That's it. Anything else? Sorry, I don't have time. I don't have time for the BS. I don't have time for your narratives, right? Either you're helping me get to where I need to go or you're not. And so if you're helping me, hey, let's do this. I appreciate it. If not, sorry, I do not have 1 second of time for you. Like, at some point, you don't exist in my life anymore. I'm sorry. I need to take care of myself because nobody else is going to take care of me but me. And I think that's where anybody, whether you're a female, male, right? You got to take care of yourself. Oh, don't go take care of your teeth. Oh, don't go take care of your eyesight. Oh, don't pay your mortgage. No, don't pay your rent. Don't take care of yourself. Think about that. That's on the other side of, oh, should I? No. Yes, you should. Of course you should. You should take care of yourself. 100%. Yes. And anybody that is genuinely a decent human being is going to be like, good for you. Take care of yourself. Anybody that is not is going to have a contrary view of that. And at that point, they got their own issues. Why do you want to deal with that? You have your stuff that you have to deal with. Let them be them, but you need to move on from that stuff.
Okay, so what if, because I love what you're sharing it, what if you're the person who's in the way and the hardest on yourself? Because I feel like when it comes to money.
No, that's fine. That's fine. So what you could do is when you think that you're the one that's in the way, if you do your breath work, if you read my book, The Power of Breath, you're going to get rid of all of that because you're going to be like, I have unconditional self-love. There's nothing I can do wrong for me to take care of myself. Nothing. So if I'm getting a thought that's saying, oh my God, that's wrong, then I have to say, whose is that? That's not mine. Because if it's mine, then I have to take care of myself. If I want something, then I have to go for it, right? Then that's mine, right? I get to go do that. That is then that real conversation with yourself, right? Everything else, it's just external clutter. That somebody put something in your closet. Did you let them put that in your closet? No, probably not. Nobody did. Why are you going to have stuff that is against you? Or is that making you feel bad in your closet if you're supposed to have unconditional self-love? Because that, if you have unconditional self-love, it doesn't mean that you're not going to work hard. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make hard decisions. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have any problems. This is like life. If you're alive, you're going to have all of these things. Right? When you're not here anymore, when you're dead, you're not going to have any problems. But as long as you're here, it doesn't matter if you have tons of money or if you don't have any money. Everybody's going to have to deal with the same thing. We all have to deal with challenges. That's what life is. That's what having breath is. Having breath is like, you're a person, you're alive, you're going to have some challenges, right? Now, how you happen to deal with that, do you want to clean up that closet or not? You don't have to clean it. But damn, it is hard to live a life with that closet, with everybody else's stuff in there that you have to lug around everywhere.
Yeah.
Why do you have to lug all that stuff around? Who said that? And I think this happens like people, sometimes when somebody has a near-death experience, when they do, they're like, just wipe that closet out. Like, I could have died. That's it. Game over. Just get rid of it. I'm not even going to deal with it. So I think at that point, it's so easy for us. So why can't we live our life that way? What if you did look at it like tomorrow I'm going to die? So what is important to me today? What is it that I want? And guess what? I'm going to go for that whether I make it or not. It doesn't matter, but I'm here. I'm going to play in the game because this is my life and I can live it however I want.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Monica, you know what I love about you? You just say it as it is, right? And I feel like people need that message loud and clear, right? You just say it as it is. And so I'm curious, people are going to want to follow you. They're going to want to know you. They're going to want to get your book. So where can they find you?
So I'm on www.monicagarciadougall.com. And they could, I do have this thing. It's called the Financial Bites Method. B is for budget. I is for investing, T is for taxes, E is for exit strategy, and S is for systems. So that could be good for businesses. Also, if you want to use it for your own personal financial view and stuff, it works great. So people can go and download that. I think that's a really great start for people. Because I think also the other part with anybody, whether you're male or female, is you really have to start learning about finance. You really have to start learning about money and be okay that you don't know. Because I'll tell you what, there's so many people out there, even like you got like professors at universities, right? Everybody has their money story, right? Don't compare. Just do your best. Figure out what you want and just move forward in that and find the people to help you. There's tons of people out there that care about you, that want to help you. There's amazing coaches. I've learned so much. I've had coaches for 10 years. Oprah Winfrey had 7 coaches. She's a billionaire. So if you want to be a billionaire, maybe get 7 coaches. Yeah. So yeah, you could go on my website. And then I also have an Instagram account. But I am starting to put a lot of really amazing stuff on my website. I will have events and workshops as well. I do have a money school that I'm working on right now for people to help them change their mindset with money. And I'm very excited, actually. I just started doing one of the recordings yesterday.
That's amazing. That's awesome. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes so people can find you. We'll put your book in there. We'll find your TED Talk and put it in there. You're a wealth of information. You have so much experience. So I'm excited for people to follow you and learn from you. And okay, so Monica, just in starting to wrap up, I have a few last questions. And so I'm curious, up until now, you've had quite the career. What would you say is your definition of success today?
I really think my definition of success is the in-between, the breath work, the walks, right? Let's say if you're working really hard, right? 25 minutes, take a 5-minute break, go outside, take a little walk, or go get some movement. Like that, those are like, that's almost like a little celebration. That's a little like a self-care, right? Like just go drink a glass of water, right? Because that, all that stuff is going to help your physiology. So for me, I think that success is just being able to be present, to be here, right? Because at the end of the day, you want to go reach your goals, go hit it out of the ballpark. At it, have fun. But, right, celebrate the journey. Celebrate like right now, right this second.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm definitely on the same page with you. And it's a work in progress.
Yes. Oh, no. Yeah. You just have to remind yourself. You put it on your calendar. Yeah. No, for sure. I get you.
Yeah. No. Awesome. Okay. Next question. What would you say? Because my tagline is unleashing greatness within. So what would you share to the listeners? 3 tips to unleash their inner greatness.
So I would say clarity, curiosity, and confidence.
Ooh, I like that. Clarity, curiosity, and confidence. Okay, lovely lady. So last question. If you could go back and tell your younger Wall Street self one thing about breath, belief, or business, what would it be?
I know that I was using the breath work. Like literally, we would have meetings and I would go do like my breath work before. I felt pretty, it's interesting, but on top of my mom teaching me all the entrepreneur, she did do a lot of like meditation. So maybe that's why I picked it up so quickly. Yeah.
That's
but
awesome.
I'm a strategist. So I've just been figuring it out throughout. And I just think that I'm just going to continue to do that like throughout. I don't know. I think I did pretty good. Maybe I would say, hey, good job. You're doing great.
That is awesome. Like, exactly. Because yeah. You showed up with the belief that you belonged, how we started this conversation, right? That you belonged at the table. Yeah. Adopting that belief. And if there was any last thoughts that you wanted to share with the listeners, any last thing you want to say?
Just keep going and show up, keep going and have fun. And really, I think that's the way you reach your dreams. And if you want something, it's yours. Just figure out how to get it done and have confidence in that and move forward.
I love it. Monica, thanks for being here. You're a breath of fresh air. I love your energy. I love your certainty. I love your passion. Everybody, go check out Monica. Go to her website, get her Bites Method. Get her book. I'll put it in there. The Power of Breath. Just thank you for everything that you're doing to educate and to support other people in living their best life. Yeah, really grateful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you too. And then, yeah, so if they go onto my website, I also have the book there, and it's Monica Garcia Dugal. And then that's where you'll find the Power Breath, because I think there's other books out there that have the same title. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad you shared that. Yeah. So go to the website, get the book, check out Monica, continue to follow her. And Monica, just thanks. Thanks so much. I really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Hi, I'm Tanya and this is Julie, and we are the founders of Coach Corp, your all-in-one solution for building and scaling a successful coaching business.
At Coach Corp, we provide you with everything you need in one place. You can house your courses, manage memberships, run email campaigns, and create stunning websites and funnels, all with our easy-to-use platform.
And it's not just about the software. We offer built-in coaching and mentorship, helping you implement best practices from certified NLP practitioners and story brand coaches. And that's just scratching the surface of what's inside.
And that's why we're excited to sponsor the Entrepreneurial Elevation podcast with Kelly Beveridge. Kelly is a thought leader who inspires and elevates entrepreneurs worldwide.
We believe in the power of community and continuous learning, and this podcast is a fantastic resource for any coach looking to truly grow their practice.
So join us on this journey. Tune into the Entrepreneurial Elevation podcast for insights and inspiration, and visit Coach Corp to transform your coaching business today.
Coach Corp, your path to coaching success.